God wants all people to have everlasting life with Him. He doesn't want anybody to end up in hell. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God's Word says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering," that word could also be translated patient, "is patient toward us, not willing," listen to this part, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So clearly God says in His Word, He wants everybody, every person ever born into this world, to have everlasting life with Him. And yet, the Bible clearly says that there will be people who end up lost. For again, look at our text here this morning, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So my friends, it is crystal clear. Some people are going to end up in hell. Now think about that for a moment. Kind of let that rattle around in your mind for just a little bit here. Some people, God's Word says, are going to end up in the lake of fire. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been lost driving? I'm not talking about spiritually. I'm talking about physically. Driving around someplace and you got lost. Okay. Most of us have at one time or another. I remember one day, I think it was a year or two ago, I went over to Evansville. I was going to pick up my grandson, Christian, at his preschool. And I was driving around in that city looking at the street signs. I had a general idea where the school was, but I had never been in that particular area of Evansville before, and I forgot the map that they drew up for me to find it. But I thought, I can find it. I know generally where it's at. But after a while, I realized I was lost. Some of the streets that I took ended up in a dead end. But eventually, I'm like most men, you know, rather than stop and ask for directions, we just keep driving around, right? Eventually, I found Christian's preschool building. Why? It's pretty simple. All streets in Evansville eventually led me to the right place. You know, there are a lot of roads in this world, and even some of them end up as dead-end streets. But every road eventually leads somewhere. So even if you're lost, you're still headed somewhere. Amen? I think in a way that life is kind of like taking a trip in a car. It's not really too complicated when you think about life. Every road leads to a predictable destination, and even if you're lost, you are still headed somewhere that you can predict just by checking a road map. The title of my sermon today is, are you ready for this? All Roads Lead to God. That's my sermon title this morning, All Roads Lead to God. Now, some of you may be ready to jump up and strongly disagree with me on that point. But I ask you this morning to be patient. I ask you this morning to listen very carefully to what the Lord has laid upon my heart to speak to you about here this morning. All roads lead to God. Now, yes, I'm fully aware of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it," Jesus says. So basically what Jesus is saying there in Matthew chapter 7 is that there are only two roads. He says one of them leads to life and the other leads to destruction. But you know what I have found as I visit and talk with various people as I go around this life that God has given me? I have found that there are many people, who believe that there are indeed many roads to God. And you know, it astounds me. It really does astound me to run into some people who have been going to church for years and, for lack of a better term, and I know it doesn't sound good, but I think it really hits what I want to say on the head of the nail. Some people are just downright ignorant of doctrine. Downright ignorant. I was talking to a lady after the funeral yesterday morning, and she was asking me a question about the judgment. Apparently, she had some disagreements with what the preacher had said during the sermon or during the funeral service. And I thought to myself, you know, you've been going to church. I know her fairly well. You've been going to church for a long time. You ought to know some of this stuff, you know. But a lot of people just, I don't know why. Maybe they don't read their Bible. Maybe they don't listen when their sermons are being preached. Maybe they've never been to Bible school or Sunday school when they were kids. I don't know what the reason is, but there are a lot of people who just don't really know much about salvation and what happens after death. But again, I have found this statement. I've heard this statement many times, and I suspect you have too, that there are many roads to God. You ever heard the statement, all roads lead to Rome? That's a statement that has been said many times. It's commonly referred to as the circular system. I want you to think about this. Picture in your mind a bicycle wheel. You all know what a bicycle looks like, right? You all know what a bicycle wheel looks like. Okay. A bicycle wheel has a hub, right? Or the axle. And it has the tire on the outside. And from the tire leading into the hub, there are spokes, right? There are many spokes from the tire leading into the hub. So picture yourself now as position yourself on the tire, and you want to get to the hub. You can take any spoke you want to, and it'll lead you where? To the hub, okay? So that's an illustration of what many people believe. They put themselves on the outside of the tire rim, and their desire is to get to God, and they believe that just like the bicycle tire, any spoke on that wheel that they take will eventually lead them to God. No matter where you are on the outside of the hub, if you're on a spoke, it's going to lead you to the hub, to God. I came across some interesting facts on the internet on the CIA. You all know what the CIA is, don't you? The CIA has a website, and I found some interesting facts. According to the CIA, as of July last year, not quite a year ago, the world population was estimated at 6.6 billion people. 6.6 billion people in the world. Now listen to this. That's a lot of people, isn't it? A lot of people. Now, they also broke down the various religions in the world according to population. And these are, again, estimates, but the CIA, they ought to know some of this stuff anyway. They say that in the world today, 33% of the world's population are Christians. And of that 33%, 17.3% are Roman Catholics, 5.8% are Protestants, 3.4% are Orthodox Christians, and 1.2% are Anglican Christians. They say that of the 6.6 billion people of the world, 20.1% of that population are Muslims. They say that 13.3% are Hindus or Buddhists. 0.4% are Sikhs. Only 0.2% of the world population is Jewish. and all other religions, 12.6%, atheists, 2.4%. Now, when you think about that, that's a lot of people, 6.6 billion people in the world, and they're all divided up on various beliefs. And all of these people on various beliefs, if you will, are on some kind of road to God. And obviously, with all of these figures, and I didn't cover all of the religions that are in the world there with those figures, that's a lot of roads to God, wouldn't you say? And in fact, I would say to you that even the atheist is on a road to God. I really spent a lot of time this week trying to find out what the various religions of the world believe. And I didn't just pick this up off someone's opinion. I went to the various religions' websites and found out what their beliefs were. And I've kind of condensed it down. I want you to listen carefully to this, because many times I am asked by people in this church and people outside the church, what do Catholics believe? What do Muslims believe? What's the difference between us and the Jews? So hopefully this will help you understand what the various people of the world who have various religions, what they believe, and the kind of road that they are on, which they believe will lead them to God. Are you ready for this now? I want you to listen carefully. Buddhists. Buddhists believe, teaches four noble truths and an eightfold pathway which leads to the end of all pain. Siddhartha Gautama was a man who lived in the 500s BC in Nepal. In his mid-30s, he claimed enlightenment as the result of his sufferings and became the Buddha. One fundamental belief of Buddhism is reincarnation, the concept that humans are trapped in a repetitive cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth. One's goal is to escape from this circle or this cycle and reach nirvana, whatever that is. Once this is attained, the mind experiences complete freedom, liberation, and non-attachment. Suffering ends because desire and cravings, the causes for suffering, are no more. So would you say that people who are Buddhists are on the same road as you and I are on? Well, it doesn't sound like it, does it? Hinduism. Hinduism, today the New Age movement, transcendental meditation, Wicca, and many forms of pagan worship are offsprings of Hinduism. The Hindu religion involves a caste system and a series of reincarnations in differing forms of life to practice and prove one's worth in efforts to merge with the ultimate reality through works, knowledge, and devotion to achieve a peaceful escape from the cycle of reincarnation. So would you say that you and I are on the same road as people who are of the Hindu faith? Doesn't sound like it, does it? Now, Islam. Islam, my folks, I'm going to just kind of toss this in here. I believe Islam will be the major force during the days of tribulation. I believe that this is the religion that the Antichrist will come out of. Here's what it says about Islam. And by the way, Islam is the fastest growing faith in the world today. Islam embraces Muhammad as the last and greatest messenger of God, who received the Quran dictated to him and his disciples by the angel Gabriel. Muslims believe in one God, angels, resurrection, and eternal judgment, prayer, fasting, giving, and jihad. Jihad is the sixth religious duty which requires one to give their life to defend or spread Islam. If a person dies in this manner without respect to any other fact, they will be immediately escorted into paradise and allowed to experience special sexual pleasures which are prohibited here on earth and in paradise except to those who are martyred for jihad. These special privileged martyrs are also blessed to bring other family members into this paradise as well. Muslims believe Jesus was a prophet of God who did not die but was bodily taken to heaven. Thus, they deny the resurrection. So would you say that people who are of the Islam faith are on the same road as you and I? No. Judaism, that's the word that would reply, or would also correspond with people who are of the Jewish faith. Judaism follows the first five books of the Old Testament, called the Torah, as their law. Jews believe they have a covenant through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and are heirs to the land promised them by God. Heaven is their future by covenant and keeping of the law. They await a coming Messiah who will set up his kingdom and deliver them from all persecution and bondage forever. They believe Jesus was a false prophet who was not virgin-born, and they deny his resurrection from the dead. They believe salvation is dependent on belief in God and good works. So, would you say that the people who are of the Jewish faith are on the same road that you and I are on? Doesn't sound like it, does it? You ever heard of Jehovah's Witnesses? All right, let's find out what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is the first of God's creation, and all other things came into existence through Jesus. Now, did you get that point? They believe that Jesus was created by God the Father. Is that what we believe? No. They believe that Jesus is none other than Michael the Archangel. The Jehovah's Witnesses place works and faith as the requirement for eternal life, and for one to be truly saved, they must be a part of the Jehovah's Witnesses organization. You ever wondered why they get out and work so hard? This will explain it. In order for a person to become a Jehovah's Witness, they must go through many Bible studies, door-to-door preaching, and prove themselves that they truly believe that this organization is truly of God and agree with its teachings. Then they are baptized into the organization. Thus, they are now on the train to eternal life if they hold fast to the doctrines and guidance of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Anyone other than a Jehovah's Witness cannot be saved or have eternal life. Are they on the same road that you and I are on? How about Mormons? You ever heard of Mormonism? Mormonism is based on the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Mormonism teaches that everyone's works and righteous desires vary, so heaven includes different kingdoms or decrees or degrees of glory. Here's what Mormons believe. They believe there is a celestial kingdom. The Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ reside in the celestial kingdom. If you live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ and are cleansed from sin by the atonement, you will receive a place in this, the highest kingdom, where you will live in God's presence and know complete joy. They believe there is a terrestrial kingdom. People who refuse to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, but who live honorable lives, will receive a place in the terrestrial kingdom. There is the celestial kingdom. Those who continue in their sins and do not repent until after they have died will eventually receive a place in the celestial kingdom. Mormons do believe in hell. Those who did not repent while on earth will experience a temporary hell after death, and during that time, that all the spirits go to the spirit world, where they will undergo instruction and preparation before the resurrection, but will have an opportunity to repent afterwards and avoid the eternal hell. Hell, the Mormons believe, is an eternal place of misery. It is inhabited only by Satan and those who explicitly reject the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, even after the period of instruction after death. Because of what Jesus Christ did for each of us, we can return to live with God if we obey His commandments. And by the way, Mormons do believe in praying for the dead and that you can pray people out of hell. Are they on the same road as you and I? You ever heard of the religion of Scientology? You ever see that commercial on television years ago, Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard? That's what this religion is based on. Let me read about it. Scientology is a religion that has received a lot of media coverage today. That is mostly due to the fact that some rather high-profile movie stars belong to the Church of Scientology. John Travolta, Kirstie Alley, Tom Cruise, and Nicole Kidman are a sampling of those entertainers who have gone on record as being Scientologists, although Mrs. Kidman left Scientology recently. Scientology was started by sci-fi writer L. Ron Hubbard and evolved from his initial concepts of Dianetics. The Scientology religion is based exclusively upon L. Ron Hubbard's research, writings, and recorded lectures, all of which constitute the scriptures of this religion. Scientology denies that salvation comes from God. As their website says, salvation in Scientology is attained through personal spiritual enlightenment. Scientology holds man to be basically good, and that his spiritual salvation depends upon himself and his fellows and his attainment of brotherhood with the universe. They deny the existence of heaven and hell, and they deny the concepts of original sin and salvation by grace. In Scientology, which espouses reincarnation, each person must save himself by ridding himself of destructive memories and experiences that he or she has brought into their current life. Are they on the same road as you and I? You ever heard of the Universal Unitarians? That's another group of people that is growing in numbers. The Universal Unitarians deny the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't believe he's God. Their belief on the nature of Jesus pretty much parallels that of the New Age, that Jesus was an example of a good and moral man. Nothing more, nothing less. The UUs do not believe, as Christians do, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. It is more of a guide than Scripture to them. Let us once again view the UA's own words regarding their view of the Bible. It says, "We do not, however, hold the Bible or any other account of human experience to be either an infallible guide or the exclusive source of faith. Much biblical material is mythical or legendary. Not that it should be discarded for that reason. Rather, it should be treasured for what it is. We believe that we should read the Bible as we read other books or the newspaper with imagination and a critical eye." Salvation to the UUs is a guarantee. They do not believe in hell. They do not believe that there is a penalty for sin. How about the New Age movement? You ever heard of the New Age movement? What do they believe? The New Age movement believes God is in everything, and everything together makes up God. Therefore, as a part of nature, man is a part of God. Many New Age practices are designed to push man through the spiritual evolution to godhood. Astral projection, training your soul to have out-of-body experiences, contacting spirit guides, and using crystals to purify your body and mind's energy systems are among their practices. Many New Agers believe in reincarnation and in karma. They do not believe in a heaven and a hell. They believe Jesus was just a good man and that man saves himself. Are we on the same road as New Agers? How about Wicca? You ever heard of Wicca or witchcraft? Wicca is a religion that worships nature, supports peace, and believes society cannot be at peace if we are out of harmony with nature or are mistreating Mother Nature. You ever mistreated Mother Nature, Tony? I don't know how. Not nice to mistreat Mother Nature. Isn't that what I used to say on the Parquet commercial? Anyway, divination techniques such as tarot cards, astrology, psychic readings, candle magic, and other occult practices are not only common but encouraged in Wicca. Witches do not believe in a heaven or hell and will usually espouse the concept of endless reincarnation. Backed up by memories of past lives, they insist the idea of living only once is ridiculous. Others believe in reincarnation until enlightenment or endless rebirth, until such time as the person is enlightened enough to pass on to some other existence. Again, what makes a person enlightened varies from person to person. Still others will openly admit that they have no idea what will happen after death and say they'll find out when they get there. Are they on the same road as we are? All right, now, Catholics, what do they believe? I find a lot of misinformation about what Catholics believe and what they don't believe, and I couldn't begin to cover it all up here today, but let me just give you this synopsis. Catholics ask Mary to pray for them or anyone else in need in the same manner we ask a friend to pray for us. They believe that Mary continues to intercede for us to her son. It is for this reason they ask Mary in faith for her prayers. Their prayers to Mary are an addition to their prayers to God. They believe in confession to priests. Once an individual goes to confession and actually states the sin aloud with true contrition, it is guaranteed that a relief and cleansing will immediately follow, as well as a strong sense of forgiveness. Catholics believe in praying for the dead whose souls are in a place they call purgatory. All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enjoy and enter the joy of heaven. Catholics do believe that works will get them to heaven, accompanied by faith in God's grace, and there is more to salvation than accepting Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. Catholics believe in infant baptism and teach that in order for man to be saved, to have eternal life, he must be baptized with both water and the Holy Spirit, and that being baptized is what secures eternal salvation. Are they on the same road we're on? Now, Protestant Christianity, that's what we are, Protestants, amen? Now let me say this about them. Protestant Christianity comes in many forms and believes that Jesus is the Son of God. However, some Protestants believe we must be baptized to go to heaven, and others say it is by faith alone that we are saved. Some believe in eternal security, while others say it is impossible, or it is possible to walk away from your salvation. Some believe in the Trinity, and some do not. So you see, even though we call ourselves Protestants, we've got other Protestant brothers and sisters, and they've got different beliefs than we do. So you see what I'm saying here, friends? You've got all of these different roads that people are on. And I say to you, all roads lead to God. Romans 14:10 says this, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, are you listening carefully? The question is not, will everyone see God, but rather, what will God say when he sees you? Everyone gets to God. But what God does with you when you get there, that's the question. All roads, my friends, do indeed lead to God, but not all roads lead to heaven and everlasting life. Every religion other than New Testament Christianity demands that a person must work to prove his worth and earn a relationship with God to gain entry into heaven. The Apostle Paul tells us that we do not earn, but rather we are given this relationship with God by grace through faith. He says so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are saved by grace through faith. Amen? So that begs the question, where do works come in? Are works important? Yes, they're important. I want you to look again at our text here this morning in Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works." Isn't that the word you find in your Bible there? "The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his, what's the word? Works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this probably raises a question in your mind. Which book of life is this? What is this book of life? Turn ahead to Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. What book is so important for us to appear in? Revelation 21, 27. But there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. Now, who is the Lamb, my friends? Who is the Lamb? His name is Jesus. Amen? No one else even lays claim to Jesus as Lord and Savior except believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Lamb whose blood was shed to atone for our sins. Amen? It is the Lamb's book of life that our names must appear in. What are the demands of Jesus? Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be, what? Shall be saved. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Muhammad won't save you. Buddha won't save you. Hare Krishna won't save you. It's the name of Jesus, my friends, that salvation comes to us. Our names must be in the Lamb's book of life. Acts chapter 15, beginning of verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Listen to this. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. What did Peter say? We shall be saved in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our works, but we are saved by grace through faith. Amen? Again in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preached. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it goes on to say, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on no other but the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. Call upon his name, as it says here in Romans. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. And my friends, Scripture makes it very clear, if you will do those things, you will gain heaven and rewards throughout eternity. You will be on the right road. I say to you this morning, my friends, in closing, I ask you this question. How many times have you heard, and when Are you going to believe that only the blood of the Lamb will save your soul? Believe on Him. Call upon His name. And He will save you. And He will set you free from the penalty of sin. And He will save your soul for all of eternity. And then, my friends, and then and only then, can you know that you're on the right road to God. Yes, I again repeat, and I know it's a controversial statement, and I know that when you first heard me say it this morning, you thought to yourself, uh-oh, Brother Dave's backslidden. Brother Dave's on the wrong road. But I say to you, in fact, my friends, the Scriptures prove it. All roads do, in fact, lead to God. They do. All roads except one will lead you to the great white throne judgment. And who will you find there at the great white throne judgment if you're on all those roads? The Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be there. But the sad part of it is, those who are on all those roads leading to God at the great white throne judgment, as it says here in our passage this morning from Revelation chapter 20, their end is the lake of fire. And all those people on all of those roads, yes, they'll get to God, but they're not going to enjoy it when they get there because they're going to the lake of fire. But those of us who are on the right road, we too will see God. For we will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema Judgment. And at that time, we will be judged, not for whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell, but our works will be judged for the basis of our rewards. Friends, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and also I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I hope that in this limited time that I had here this morning, that I've helped the people who are gathered within the walls of the church this morning and anyone who might have been listening in to see that there are many, many bases for belief in this world system that we live in today. People have all kinds of faiths, religions, practices that they are basing their lives on, that they're betting their lives on. And as we have seen here this morning, Lord, in Revelation chapter 20, yes, indeed, all roads will lead to God, but only one road will lead to everlasting life with God, and that is the road of faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone. Lord, I pray that this message that you've given me to preach today will help all of those who have heard it to be a witness for Jesus, that you might use it, Lord, if there might have been anyone who's on the wrong road, to see the truth and to respond to that truth. Lord, use this message today in whatever way you choose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.